Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're in a series on ridiculously awesome faith, and we're looking at the lives of people who believed God for big things. And tonight what I want to do is I want us to look at a story in Mark's Gospel chapter 2, and I want to look at it in through the lens of bringing people to Jesus. Because this Friday night, then Sunday, then a week from now, Easter, and then 2 weeks after that, we have men's conference. And honestly, this is a season where we have an opportunity to see a large number of people come to know Christ. It's worth it if one comes. But while we're, I believe God's put us in a season where God wants to really touch a lot of people's lives. On the DSN, it's always big for people coming to Christ. On Sunday, I've never preached a sermon exclusively on Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. How many know of Romans Road? And you've got the four spiritual laws, and so Romans 6, 23 is right in there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about preaching this Sunday on that. So it'll be a great weekend to be bringing friends, to be inviting people, because they're going to hear a crystal clear explanation of the gospel and the difference that Jesus makes. And I believe that's going to have an impact on people's lives. Then the following week with Easter, we were talking about the services. We're very, very excited about Good Friday and then about the Easter weekend services and then obviously the men's conference. So what happens is there are some people who are going to see the advertisement and they're going to come, but most people that come to Christ come because somebody invited them. Somebody said, listen, I'd love to have you come to church with me. So my question for you is, in this next season, who are the people that you're going to bring to Jesus? Who are the people you're going to bring to Jesus? Let's look at it, Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So his home base during his gospel ministry is Capernaum. He grew up in Nazareth, which is a short distance away, but Capernaum is his home. Probably he is staying at Simon Peter's home. So now Peter's home's become his home, and so he's there. And as he's there, he's doing what he always does, and he is teaching. Now, in that day, the homes would have usually maybe at most four rooms on one level, generally speaking, two to three rooms. And then there would be a stairway on the side of the home that would go up to the roof, and that could be used for, sleeping. It could be used for a patio. It could be used for carrying out, conducting business. And so there would be a way to get up on the roof and to do that. I say that simply because as you read the story, you'll see that plays into it. I want to give you just three observations on this passage as we look at it. The first one is this: faith finds a way. Faith finds a way. Faith finds a way where there is no way. In fact, I would just say this: one of the ways in which you and I can evaluate if we're really walking in faith is, do we look for a way, believe God's going to create a way, even when we can't see a way? As one person put it, doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. So if all you're seeing is obstacles, then you have to be careful, because maybe you're looking through the lens of doubt rather than through the lens of faith, because faith doesn't take no for an answer, as we saw last time, right? Faith says there's got to be a way. I don't see a way, but there's got to be a way. God, show me a way. God, I want to see this happen. Faith sees a way. Let's look at it in verse 2. It says this: and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. So now Jesus is in this home, probably Simon Peter's home. People have heard about him. They know he works miracles. Teachers of the law have come in to listen to his teaching. And as he's speaking, the place is jammed. Probably there's 50 people in the room. So, I mean, we're not talking thousands, we're talking 50 people, but 50 people in three rooms would be a lot of people, especially in a small house like that. So, not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. Luke gives us this insight in Luke's accounting of the story, and interestingly enough, the story's in three of the four Gospels, so it's a very important story. It says, and behold. So this is like Luke is saying, stop just a moment, get ready. This is going to knock you out. This is very, very unusual. So pause, get ready. Here it is. Some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd. So if they don't have faith, they're going to say, well, I guess today's not the day for our friend to be healed. If they don't have faith, they're going to say, well, we can't get in. Sorry, brother, we'll bring you another day. If they don't have faith, they're going to say, well, it just wasn't meant to be, because if it was God's will, it would have happened. None of those are true. None of those are true. Look at it back in verse 19. And they went up on the roof, and they let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. So they are tearing the house apart. They are deconstructing Peter's house. I would have loved to have watched Peter's face. You have to believe he's thinking, what in the world is going on? And then all of a sudden, I mean, this guy comes down, and it would be very difficult. The construction of homes in those days, it's not made out of wood, it's made out of stone. And so there's stone, and there's the stucco, and they've torn this up, and when they're gone, there's a big hole in Peter's roof. It's very interesting. Very creative on their part. Shows you that listen, faith doesn't take no for an answer. Faith finds a way. I want to ask you this. When you're going to bring people to Jesus, to what length are you willing to go to do that? I'm not talking about being pushy. I'm not talking about being deceptive. I'm talking about so believing that they need to hear the gospel, that God wants to change their life, that Jesus knows exactly where they're at and what they need and will provide it, that you say, I'm going to do what it takes. And honestly, there's a lot of ways to do it. How about, hey, let's go. Why don't you come early? If they like coffee, you're going to get them coffee. If then you need to take them to breakfast, you're going to take them to breakfast. If it's we're going to go out and get a piece of pie after church on Saturday night, we're going to do that. Whatever it is, faith finds a way. Or tell you what, you come to church and I'll go with you to whatever it is that they want you to go to them to. I mean, think of the creative ways. Faith finds a way. I'm just simply saying, who is it? If you wait until people just decide they want to, then they may never make that decision. Sometimes you have to carry people to Jesus, honestly. Sometimes people are too sick with sin to be able to make their way to Jesus. They're too blinded, they're too paralyzed, they're too immobilized, they're not able to get themselves where they need to be to receive what they need from Him that only He can do. So this is a huge story for us to think about the people around us who need to know Jesus. Second, Jesus notices faith. Jesus notices faith. When Jesus saw their faith. Now here's what's interesting. The paralytic, he doesn't have faith. I mean, it wasn't his faith. He sees the friend's faith is the idea. When Jesus sees their faith, you know, our faith to believe God for his work in the lives of people, it's well-founded based on this illustration. So I just don't know whether they'll believe. Well, why don't you believe? And then leave their belief up to Jesus, because remember, he's the one who gives us faith to believe, right? But you have faith, you have a walk with God, you have a relationship with God, and Jesus sees your faith, unless you don't have faith. Sometimes what happens is people get so discouraged by looking at the individual or so psyched out by looking at the individual, they think, well, you know, they would never be interested. Well, they would. Well, that's not faith. Yeah. Faith believes that people need to come to Jesus. Yeah. And faith says, I'm going to figure out a way to get that person there. And Jesus sees that faith. Yeah. I'm just simply asking you, as we come to Friday night, as we come to Sunday, as we come to next weekend, as we come to the men's conference, and honestly, every single week, who is it that you come across that needs to know Jesus? Finally, their faith plus Jesus' power equals their friend's salvation and healing. Their faith plus Jesus' power equals their friend's salvation and healing. Musicians, you can come. Look at it in Mark's gospel. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. You see, what happens is a lot of times we see people on the outside and we say, well, you know, they're going to really need the Lord to touch them, to help them to get over that substance abuse, to get over that anxiety or that bipolar condition, or they're going to really need the Lord to heal them in an area. And Jesus deals with the root of the problem.
That's right.
Yes. Not the symptom.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So Jesus looks at this paralytic, and while anybody can see the man can't walk, Jesus sees the real issue is the man doesn't have faith and is steeped in sin. That's really the beginning of God's working. I'm not minimizing healing, but Jesus knows exactly what people need. You know, sometimes we get all worried about what are people going to think, how they're going to feel about this, how they're going to feel about that. My experience through all these years of ministry is God has a way of zeroing in right on what that person needs to give them right what they need. I loved this last week in the third service, and honestly, the third service on Sunday per capita has the greatest amount of evangelism happening of any of the services. I mean, it is continually amazing to me. I'm just like, that was unbelievable. But Sunday, we had several people in the third service get saved. And one of them was a lady who was in her 80s. She'd never heard the gospel, never had the opportunity to respond to the gospel. But a grandson said, Grandma, will you go with me to church? And she said, I will. When I saw her come forward, she reminded me so much of my mom, just kind of the way she carried herself. And I thought, I didn't know her story. I didn't know what was going on, but found out later. And then she got baptized. She was like, man, I'm all in. I'm going to get baptized. So, you know, you don't know. You can bring the scripture back up. You just don't know what God is going to do, but he knows what people need. And in all the years of ministry, one of the things that's been such a joy and such an amazement is he's able, you know, even as I watch people get saved during the Romans series, I mean, honestly, sometimes you just hope people understood at least one sentence. And then you watch people get saved, and you say, that is the grace of God and the power of the Spirit taking something that is mind-boggling in some respects and is making it where even somebody who's unchurched gets it. It's really an amazing thing. Jesus knows what people need. He can speak. You don't have to worry about what people are going to think. Jesus already knows.
That's right.
And he's more concerned about their salvation than you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is great news. So Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes are sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk? Which is easier? Is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, take up your bed and walk to a paralytic? I can tell you which is the harder thing to do. The healing of the paralytic physically only required Jesus to say the word. The offer of forgiveness required Jesus to give his life. You tell me which is easier. But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he arose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. How many are willing to believe with me for the next month of services to be so amazing in its impact on the unsaved, the unchurched, the de-churched, the away from God, that when we're done with it, and people around will say, we've never seen anything like this.